True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
To me, the price doesn't matter. They got the player, and that's what's most important for the Patriots. To me, Diggs and Brandon Ayuk were the two most realistic targets for the Patriots this year as far as acquiring a top-end receiver or someone who could be. They badly need that. They have the worst receiver room in the NFL, you know, a bunch of number three and number four receivers, and it's been that way for several years now. They haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver since Julian Edelman in 2019, so they need talent. To me, they should still try to get Travis Hunter at number four. That would be a slam dunk for them. You could have Travis Hunter and Stephon Diggs as your top two wide receivers. So they needed to get Drake May some help, and they did it.
Ben Volin, our guest from last hour on Stephon Diggs going to New England. Good morning. It's Friday morning, almost at the weekend. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. He'll be back next week. I'll be off next week. I'll be in Charlotte. Going to visit my mom, play some golf. I'm also going to an MLS soccer game. That will be my first time at the Carolina Football Stadium, the Panther Stadium. I don't know what it's called. You have not been to that stadium, right?
Yes, I have.
No, you have. Josh Allen hasn't been to that stadium.
Ooh. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
Wait a minute.
He will this year.
He had to in preseason. They played in preseason a couple years ago.
They played here in his rookie year. The first preseason action he had, I think, was against the Panthers here, but then he was there.
They played in preseason. It was the week of the Matt Araiza stuff going on, because I remember that, and okay. It was rainy, really rainy, in the tunnel.
Was that the game he was supposed to play and didn't because it started raining?
No, I think it was in Pittsburgh, but...
Yes, you're right, Pittsburgh. I just remember there was a preseason game where he was supposed to play and then didn't because it started raining.
Bank of America Stadium.
Bank of America Stadium.
Yeah, I'll be going to a soccer game there next weekend. So looking forward to that, too. Sal's going to Florida. League owners meetings.
At Carolina, August 26th of 2022.
Okay. So he hasn't played a regular season.
Well, he didn't play, though.
I don't think. So he hasn't played.
Right.
This year, though, right? They're in Carolina this year.
Yes.
You know, I want to get to Diggs in a second here. You look at the Bills' schedule. How do you feel like this works out? They were undefeated at home last year. Hadn't lost at home all last year. And they had a couple losses on the road. This year, their home schedule versus their road schedule, all the Bills' toughest games are at home. Like, their road schedule looks pretty easy. So I wonder how that ends up shaking out in their record. Because if they're able to... them going undefeated at home is going to be unrealistic this year, I think, given the quality of the opponent. But you never know. They're going to run through their road schedule, in my opinion. The road schedule for the Bills, they have their division. And then it's Pittsburgh, who doesn't presently have a quarterback, probably Rodgers. Atlanta, Carolina, Cleveland, and Houston. That's a really easy road schedule versus the home schedule, which is... Baltimore, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Philadelphia, Tampa even isn't the easiest game in the world. Like, the Saints are their only non-division game at home where you might think, okay, yeah, they should easily take care of business there. So I don't know what that ends up meaning for the record. It might just balance out that, you know, this year their road record's going to be incredible and maybe their home record, you know, has a couple of losses mixed along the way.
Mike asked me the other day about what's the chances that the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Bengals, all on the home schedule.
Yep.
If any of them is a 1 o'clock Sunday game.
No, I don't think so.
It's got to be either primetime or 425, maybe a 405, right?
Yeah, there'll be a couple of 4 o'clock, 425 games in there. Mm-hmm. Kansas City always seems to be 425, right?
Yep.
But, no, they're 1 o'clock home games this year. Like, you never know how it'll play out. But New Orleans, I would bet for that. And then 2 of your division games? Is that too many, though? Do I have 6? That's 5 home games that would be considered, you know, primetime or, you know, national window games, more so 425. I don't know how many Sunday 1 o'clock games you're going to be getting this year.
Right.
Fans are used to that, though, at this point. So there's New England sitting on the schedule, of course, obviously, home and away. Ben, talking about Diggs there, he sounds like the expectation is that Diggs is going to be their number one and that he's going to come in and be super meaningful for Drake May. I don't know. He had awesome separation numbers last year, but he did it in the slot. There's actually numbers you could look at that he never saw press coverage because he never was on the outside to see press coverage. And then he tore his ACL. And he already looked like a little bit of a declining player. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you view his addition there, Sal, like how meaningful it will be. I think it's meaningful, but I kind of see him, I said this earlier in the week, I see him more as the Cole Beasley ad for Drake May, the safe, secure, underneath, middle of the field guy, more than I see him as what Diggs was for Allen, the first go round for a young quarterback and Diggs. So I think he'll be good there, but like to me, he talks about Travis Hunter. That's the move I would still be more obsessed with. I don't feel like I have a premier number one receiver yet if I'm New England. I got a guy, a professional receiver, and they had trouble doing that even. But if I want this young quarterback to have every tool he needs to take the next big step, they are still missing a premier number one receiver.
Yeah, they you're talking about the Patriots.
Yes, in May.
When Ben was talking about Diggs and being, he said, if they get Travis Hunter, they would be your top two receivers.
Yeah.
That's telling you right there, they view Stephon Diggs as clearly their number one, at least from his perspective. And if you look at their roster, I get it, but what does that look like? As Stephon Diggs is your true number one right now at his age coming off that injury.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you want to do better than that. Last year before the injury, he was much more efficient first half of last year with Houston than he was in the second half of the year prior with the Bills. What was he in Houston? He wasn't the number one.
No, and he was Nico in a good Collins. Role in Houston.
Yeah.
That was a good role for him. And he was catching the ball and putting up some decent numbers. But yeah, I don't know how you can expect him to be a true number one like he was in Buffalo in 2021, 22. Yeah. It just, to me, it doesn't fit like that.
So what is New England then to you right now? Most, I think, would feel about them that they're on their way to being the biggest threat to the Bills in the division.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of threat is that this year? It's not. Like, the Bills are the biggest favorite to win their division in the league right now. By the odds, they are the biggest betting favorite to win their own division.
And I understand why, and they should be.
Because New England even improving a lot from last year is doing what? Going from 4 wins to
8 at the most?
Yeah, not competing with the Bills.
I think they might be the second best team in the division, though. And what does that say about the Dolphins and Jets?
Yeah. Well, it says the Jets are at Justin Fields at quarterback, and Miami's at the end.
I think so.
I think Miami's at the end of their window.
But they don't think they are, which is the worst spot to be in. You are at the end, but your organization kind of doesn't believe. Because right. If they believe that, they wouldn't have Tyreek Hill on their roster making like $24 million on a cap hit, whatever it is.
Right. So New England at least is tracking up. Do you feel like they have made the right moves, though, for maybe not this year is the year they're competing with the Bills, but within 2 years, 3 years?
I think they're the right coach. They obviously have a lot of money. They're going out and spending it. Questions about if they spend it on the right players. You could see some different sites that say, well, they overspent here and overspent there. But that's what you do when you have a lot of money and you're bad and you're trying to reset. And so I understand that. But the thing that I come back to with them is they have the quarterback. They have the quarterback. I like him. He's a young, good quarterback. And they have a good coach who's won in this league. Mm-hmm. I think he'll put together a good defense. Yeah, I mean, like even a guy like Harold Landry, who wasn't that great in Tennessee last year, right. He was really good under Mike Vrabel. Right, so he'll figure out how to do this. But I don't know what that's. I don't know how they're going to score a ton of points, enough points.
Right.
And they're going to have to play close games, not a lot of margin for error. But if you make mistakes, they'll capitalize because I think they'll be more buttoned up than they have been. And you're probably looking again at a team that might be able to creep towards 500.
Right. And at the end of the day, it all really just comes down to what's Drake May going to be? Because, like, Miami's been a headache. You know, mm-hmm. to some extent, not when they've played head to head, but in the standings they've been a headache. They have a good quarterback. They have a good quarterback. Tua is good, and they built an offense around him that works. And what did it get them to? They made the playoffs a couple of times. They never won the division though. Throughout this whole window here, they have not won the division. They had a 4-game lead at one point, didn't they? Or is it a 3-game lead when they lost to the Titans and lost to the Bills in Week 18? They had a multi-game lead in December and didn't close the deal and didn't win the division. And now they probably never will with this current window they have right now, Tyreek Hill and the rest. But Tua was only, like in my eyes at least, Tua was only pretty good. Tua didn't have that extra gear, that extra ceiling that they probably needed to be on the same playing field with the Bills. And May, I wonder what that ceiling is for him. If he is going to be at 6'4", 225, and a great athlete, if he's going to be one of the top-tier quarterbacks in the league, then you can really get to, all right, well, now we got a real, real rivalry here,
mm-hmm.
a real battle year to year. But it's all going to come down to what does May become. And to your point about Vrabel, I do think they are making the right hires and acquisitions to get him to that level. You know, they're kind of going along the Bills' trajectory, where Allen comes in, he flashes some athleticism, and then what was that next year about? It was about, well, let me build up the line a little bit, and let me get him some professional receivers. The Bills did Beasley and Brown before they did the Diggs move. But it was about, we got to make sure Allen's got everything he needs to take his next steps. And that is what the phase New England's in. Every move they make to me is just about, they got to maximize Drake May. Because the only way they're ever a real challenger to the Bills is that guy's got to become one of the best quarterbacks in football. And he might have the talent to do it, but he's got to actually do it. And his organization needs to surround him with the right pieces to do it.
And right now, what are they missing? The two most important things that every young quarterback needs. A number one receiver.
And a left tackle.
And a left tackle.
Yeah. And that, I don't that, see...
Those are the two glaring issues on offense.
Right. And I don't see how they're going to do that this offseason. There's Brandon Ayuk smoke again. I think the Niners want to trade him by Tuesday. He's got a big bonus coming on Tuesday. And you're seeing reports like bi-weekly now that, oh, they want to trade Ayuk, or they would trade Ayuk. I mean, you could do that if you're New England. Ben even told us, like said an hour ago, they were in on that a year ago. But he's coming off a torn ACL too.
Mm-hmm.
Two receivers off torn ACLs. So you're like number one receiver. Matt Collins might be their number one perimeter receiver right now. And then the line, that's the other thing. The line, look what it's done for Allen. I mean, the Bills have a great offensive line right now, and how much easier things can be when you have that. May was running for his life a lot last year, and he flashed the athleticism to kind of get away from that. But you got to be able to hang in the pocket and make throws. And they did a couple of things, Garrett Bradbury on the line. That group and then number one receiver are still definitely missing components before I would ever say they're challenging for a division. So for now, I don't feel like the Bills have a challenger.
I agree, and I know that anything can change. Obviously, to me, what's the pathway for any of these teams to actually challenge the Bills this year? The only pathway is for the Bills to have bad injuries or mm-hmm. just a really rough year in some capacity that we don't see.
Right.
I don't think it's them. Like, can you see suddenly the Dolphins having a 12-win season and lighting it up? I can't, just
no.
based on their roster. Can you see that with the Jets?
No.
Can you see that with the Patriots?
Almost definitely not.
The only way
may,
would be the
may
Bills.
May have to have like a Jaden Daniels level season.
The only way would be for the Bills to fall back to them.
Right.
And the winner of the division has 10 wins, let's say.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right?
I definitely, yeah, it's more about the Bills
yes.
falling than it is about any of the other three having the ability to rise to their, I mean, especially Miami doesn't have that in them, right? We've seen their ceiling.
Yes.
And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It can make the playoffs. But their ceiling also includes, that's why their whole build was just kind of faulty. Their quarterback has played 5-6 years in the NFL. He's made it through one season healthy.
And they get
play the odds there. He's probably going to miss 3-4 games this year. And what do they look like when he misses? They can't win.
And then they get to November, and it's tough for them to win because of the way they play football, and they're not built for that type of football. December, and playoffs.
That's probably the bigger point. The bigger point, even than Tua missing a few games, is they look the same every year when it gets to November.
I mean, look, and Mike McDaniel is a really smart offensive coach. I think he is a great example of you can be the smartest coordinator and scheme everything up. It doesn't mean you're going to translate that to being a really good head coach. I mean, I really like Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
I have no idea if he's going to be a good head coach.
Right.
But he certainly can coach the hell out of offense.
Yeah. You think McDaniel's done if they miss this year?
I think he might be. I think Chris Greer is almost definitely done if they miss.
I saw the other day. How long has he been there? He's been there for, because he precedes McDaniel.
He's had like three coaches now that he's hired, right?
Yeah, Flores is him.
Yep.
McDaniel is him. Does he go back to, who's before Flores?
Who's before that?
He's been their general manager since 2016.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's a longer tenure GM than Brandon Bean is. And he hasn't won a playoff game.
So he was hired in 2016?
Brother of Mike.
He hires Adam Gase. Or maybe Gase preceded him, but they started the same year.
Yikes.
And then Flores and then McDaniel.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think I wonder if McDaniel gets fired if they just lose in the playoffs. Like they have the same season they always do, where they start hot and they squeak in at the end and they're a 7 seed in the playoffs and they get smoked in round one.
You know they have the longest playoff win drought in the NFL.
Yes. Me and Nate looked at this the other day. 2000?
2000.
Yeah.
Last time they won a playoff game was 2000, so it's been 24 years. 25 going on. I would think if you had to put money on what happens first, the Jets make the playoffs or the Dolphins win a playoff game, you probably lean Dolphins because of where the Jets are.
Yeah.
Or would you not? What happens first?
What happens first? I do kind of like Aaron Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
But how long does that take him to kind of get everything in order there?
Bullpen, what happens first? The Jets make the playoffs or the Dolphins win a playoff game? I'll ask the bullpen.
I think I'd say Jets make the playoffs. The Dolphins are not winning a playoff game anytime soon.
Mm.
And it's not just the coach. You know, like, if New England indeed is the second best team in the division this year, and Miami misses the playoffs, and, like, it kind of feels like it's over there for McDaniel, it's not just McDaniel. This is the end of the Tyreek Hill era. I thought it would be over already, the way he sounded after the final game of the year. He quit on the team. Remember the Hard Knocks clip of Waddle looking back at the sidelines like, yo, you done? He's like, yeah, I'm out. He pulled himself out of the game. The starters weren't pulled.
I'm stunned he's still on the team. I agree. I mean, after everything that happened, I thought it was that was it.
After that, in postgame, he's like, yeah, I've enjoyed my time here. Like, he basically announced his departure from the Dolphins, and he's just going to stay there. But even if, okay, he's going to go another year. He's 31 years old, and he just came off a giant decline from 1,800 yards to 959. Didn't miss a game. Played the whole season. Something happened. Did he lose a step? If not, I mean,
did you read the article by Armando Salguero about him?
About Hill? No.
Oh, it was great. I had Armando on the day it dropped. Like, he literally writes it. I'm like, dude, you got to come on and talk about it.
I think I saw pieces from
it. It was great. He's basically like, you got to get rid of this guy now. Like, now's the time. You have to trade him.
Yeah.
And he went through all these reasons, which was interesting. Tua's a good point because you just don't know. He's such a wild card. And yes, I think that what you said is exactly right. He's the only quarterback that works for that offense that they have.
Yeah.
You can't miss him. He has to stay healthy. And if he does,
his history is
he probably won't, but he has to, no matter what. We've seen that before. Then it comes to the Jets. I heard you and Nate talking about Justin Fields and whether or not signing Fields takes them totally out of the quarterback conversation.
Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation because I don't think it does. But I also don't know if there's anyone that rises to that. Here's what I think happens for the Jets.
Do you think it does in round one?
No. I think the Jets draft a quarterback on day two.
Okay.
And honestly, like, I have a cousin who's a big Jets fan.
Yeah.
He keeps asking me about Kyle McCord, right? Like, this is the kind of guy. And yeah. You look at a guy like that and say, okay, he might be okay in the NFL. But if you don't love him enough in the first round, how much of a game changer is he, right? But maybe there are second round picks that become. Russell Wilson was a second round pick, right? I think
third round pick.
Sorry. Yeah. Kirk Cousins was second, I think.
No, Cousins was fifth.
What was he? Jeez, what am I doing here?
Who are you thinking of that was a second?
I don't know. Who was second that year?
Who was the second round pick? Derek Carr was a second round pick.
Yeah. My apologies. Early morning on Friday. No, but you're right. But here's the deal. Yeah. You can. I think the Jets are going with Justin Fields for a year. The way the contract is structured, they can get out of it after a year, but they can also keep him around if they like him.
Right.
And then you draft a guy on day two and say, let's see where it goes.
Yeah. I think it probably takes them out of quarterback.
Cousins,
at 7.
Fourth round pick, Kelvin Shepard. I don't think that's the real Kelvin Shepard in the chat, but thank you, Kelvin, for letting us know. JJ Paterka was a second round pick. That's a great one.
Jalen Hurts was a second round pick.
You guys are great. I love it.
Jalen Hurts was a second round pick. I'm looking at draft history right now for quarterbacks. There was a long time where none of these second round guys were. Christian Hackenberg, for instance.
Yeah.
DeShone Kizer. You had some bad ones in that round. But McCord's interesting, too, because he is a very different style than Justin Fields. I thought you were going to say Jalen Milroe.
It would be amazing if it was the new defensive coordinator of the Lions, Kelvin Shepard, in our chat talking about the Buffalo Bills. That would be absolutely awesome.
That would be wild.
Thank you, Kelvin, for coming in.
I think that it takes them out of drafting round one quarterback. I kind of like Milroe there.
The latest on Milroe is apparently the Steelers love him.
Yeah. That keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the debate of, do they love him as a day two guy? Or there's even some that, like, do they love him enough to draft him at the end of round one?
I mean, doesn't some of this depend on Rodgers?
Maybe it doesn't.
You're not drafting a quarterback in round one if you get Rodgers, right? I mean, are your assets better spent? Maybe. Yes, you could make the argument you only have Rodgers for a year anyway, right? So go ahead and do it.
Is that the holdup right now?
I guess.
What
I don't
is
know.
The holdup? I mean, it's probably Rodgers, right? Just being Aaron Rodgers is the holdup. Or maybe the Steelers are telling him, we love you for a year and we're not going to start a rookie, but we might draft a quarterback. Like, we're not, you got to know there's going to be a first round rookie behind you if you're coming in here. That could be.
I know you like to, I'm talking with a guy here co-hosting with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, who loves to bang on the Steelers whenever he gets a chance.
Number one Tomlin hater, probably. In.
All right, so have they completely botched their quarterback situation?
This offseason?
Yeah.
Botched. I don't think there was a lot to botch in the first place, if that makes sense. But kind of, yeah. Tomlin... kind of, but I don't even know that I hated the move when he made it. And again, I don't know what the downside is. If you go from Russell Wilson to Aaron Rodgers, you might even think you're improving a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But by handling the quarterback situation the way he did last year, I think he alienated both quarterbacks. There's maybe to do with different issues, though. Fields, is he still their quarterback if he never turns to Russell Wilson? I bet he is. They just said, Fields is playing good. He's winning games. We're gna stick with him.
Do you know why? Because Justin Fields, part of the reason he left is because he felt that he was, disrespected by how they treated him after he played so well.
And Wilson, I guess it was another thing where he and Arthur Smith had a battle about, you know, him having the ability to change plays, the line of scrimmage and whatnot. So they maybe kind of annoyed both guys and not to the end where they wanted to leave. So, did they botch it, though? Because if they sign Rodgers, to me, they kind of are going to have the same level of quarterbacking, which is, all right, guy's pretty good. He's not, I mean, in Wilson's case, it's similar. He's not as good as he used to be. So, to me, the botching is that they never have the top draft pick to go get a guy. But maybe that happens. I've said this about Pittsburgh. I think there is a year coming where it's going to bottom out. I don't know if it's this year, especially if Rodgers is the quarterback, but if he doesn't go there and Mason Rudolph is suddenly the quarterback, then I'm much more open to it being this season. 803-0550 is the phone number. Heading into the weekend, we'll check in on the bullpen when we come back. see what they've got going on in here. They're talking about the division and Sal's question about what happens first. The Jets make the playoffs or the Dolphins win a playoff game.
I've been wanting to have a good conversation with you about Ovechkin and Gretzky.
Let's do that,
can,
too.
Can we do that?
Yeah, because actually, you know, interestingly enough, coincidentally, I should say, I'm going to be in D.C. on Sunday
Wow.
when the Sabres play the Capitals, but I think there is a 0% chance that he'll score.
Are you going to the game?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unless...
No, he needs
what would
six
he have
goals.
To have?
He needs
it's
six.
Still six? Okay, yeah.
We did it in that game. That's not going to happen.
He has one more game in between? No more games?
That's his next game is against the Sabres.
All right, yeah, I'm probably not going.
Yeah.
If I'm in D.C., I'm not going to go to a Sabre game.
Why? I'm going to see the Sabres
in
the Lightning.
If the game was
meaningful.
Weeks,
that's all right. It's still...
It's cherry blossom season. I want to spend my time checking out the cherry blossom museums and whatnot. 803-0550 is the phone number. Wayne Gretzky and Ovechkin, you got a thought on our Jets-Dolphins question? You can get that in, too. Stay tuned. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio here on WGR.
Jimmy Vaughn. Am I Vaughn? I know he hadn't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due.
Good morning to the chat on YouTube. The chat we're treating now as a character on the show.
No. See, that's why I love it. We don't even have to mention a guy and just bam, everyone's fist fighting in the chat.
The chat is like, you know, you look out in your backyard and you see, like, what are the dogs doing out there? And you just find out, like, they're after something.
All right, let's check in on the bullpen and what they've got going on. I did see in there earlier that I forgot about this. The Rays are playing at George Steinbrenner Stadium in Florida.
The entire season.
The whole season.
Yes.
Yeah. No Jackson Dart love, says Calvin Shepard. Do you have an opinion on Jackson Dart? I have an opinion on most of these quarterbacks. Dart, I don't really yet. He could go first round. A lot are saying Jets make the playoffs before the Dolphins win a playoff game, to your question. So that's here in the chat. The Sportsman. Tua gets too much hate. He's always hurt. Haven't seen him where it matters most. But you don't see him where it matters most because he was, well, you saw him in the playoffs. How'd he do?
Who's that?
Tua.
I mean, yeah, he's okay in that Kansas City game. He was okay.
Yeah.
He didn't play in the Bills game. It was Skylar Thompson.
That was the one that he got away with it because the game was mostly over. But I think it was like down 18 with 6 minutes left, 4th and 15, and he checked it down. Like, I just want to get out of here.
11,000 capacity at Steinbrenner Field. 11,000. That's where the Blue Jays are playing. I mean, sorry, the Rays are playing all of their home games this year.
How different is that from...
16,000 at Salem.
Wow. They could have had more. They could have had more here.
Mm-hmm.
They would have had to been, you know, halfway across the country and playing in 40 degrees during the spring. Let's see. What else is going on in the chat, in the bullpen right now? They're talking about reading and how they read because I mentioned bringing a book to the game today. I don't think it's not crazy at all. You know, you play around on your phone between pitches and between innings. Why not just, you know, have Moneyball ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Which was my book of choice for the month of March. When's the last time you saw Major League?
Ooh, actually it was on not too long ago, but I was with Max at home, so I didn't want to watch it because it's not appropriate for his age. So I didn't keep it on.
Yeah. Major League is... one of my favorite movies, like pre-1990. Not that I would be the expert on that topic. So anyways, the bullpen, ladies and gentlemen.
So Ovechkin is going to break Gretzky's record at some point here.
Yep.
What's interesting is they only have, I think, 10 games remaining. Gotta count.
They have...
maybe 9? Go to the Capitals schedule. Starts with the Sabres.
They have played on the season, as they are number one in the NHL, by the way. 72 games. They have 10
games
left.
They have 10
games left.
He needs 6 goals. His last 6 goals that he scored came over a 12-game span. He might not do this.
Yeah.
Until October.
Right.
Right? By the way, so I been thinking about him. I've been thinking about Gretzky a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many regular season games separate Gretzky and Ovechkin?
Games played?
Games played. Total regular season games. And by the way, I didn't realize how many people didn't know that playoff goals do not count. But people have been tweeting me this.
Playoff goals don't
count. It's a regular season record, just like all records in sports are regular season records.
I hope Capitals fans know that, too. Like, imagine last game of the year, he's one goal away, and he doesn't get it. And then he scores in the first playoff game. Are there going to be Capitals fans that think he just broke the record?
I hope not.
Why is nobody celebrating?
I know.
Playoff goals don't count.
How many games? I would bet
that Ovechkin's played more.
Incorrect.
It is Gretzky more.
It is Gretzky more.
I know Gretzky hit some injuries at the end of his career, right?
But Ovechkin also had lockouts.
Ovechkin had lockouts, and he missed games due to COVID, right?
The COVID season
got shut down.
Did Gretzky play through 39, 40 years old? I don't think he did.
Gretzky retired at 37 is the number in my mind.
So,
with the Rangers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Swing for the fences with the Fence Authority. They've been providing the Delaware Valley with fences for almost 3 decades. With 4 stores throughout the region and one of the largest inventories of wood, vinyl, and aluminum fencing, the Fence Authority makes your next fence as easy as 1, 2, 3. Do it yourself or get it installed with the best workmanship warranties in the country. So swing for the fences at the Fence Authority. Your new fence is waiting at fenceauthority.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Okay, Wayne Gretzky.
So Gretzky has played more.
I'm going to tell you, he's only played, it's literally a 5-game difference. That's it.
Oh, so
five.
Literally,
they played pretty much the exact same amount. In the next couple weeks, he will pass him in games played. Ovechkin, right?
Right.
So he's five. He's 6 goals away from breaking the record. And as always is pointed out, look, Gretzky. He played in the '80s. You've seen it, Joe. We talked about it.
Yep.
The goalies were flopping. They weren't going down. They were flopping around because they couldn't stand up half the time. It seemed like.
Yeah.
The pads were smaller. Right.
Yep.
I get it. It was easier to score. I do want to point out, Gretzky played in an era you could not pass the puck over 2 lines. Okay?
That's true.
And he also played in much smaller rinks sometimes than we have now.
Mm-hmm.
The Odd was smaller. Boston Garden was smaller. There was no uniform rink size until later.
Right.
Like, I think that there's a little too much of the, well, Gretzky just played in this era where it was everybody scoring.
Yeah.
I also want to give him credit for being able to score in an era where it was also a tougher in some other ways.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It doesn't overrate or over come over top of the goalie point, though, in my opinion. But it is a worthy one, that like two-line pass especially. I can't believe that rule ever existed.
I know. It's unbelievable.
I can't believe... It's on... Crosby really annoyed me like a year ago when... Like one of these all-star game questions. Like, oh, what's a change to the game you might like to see? And everyone had like a fun answer, you know, no one took it too seriously. And Crosby sat there and said, I'd like to bring the two-line pass back.
Oh, my God.
Like, Sid, dude, you're the face of the league. Do not say they should bring the two-line pass
ridiculous.
Back. That rule was horrific. I'm glad I didn't grow up really watching that rule. I mean, I was 9, 10 when they got rid of it.
Well, Pablo says in the chat, the two-line pass was not that big a deal. But it definitely impacted how you played the game. You couldn't get a guy stretching down the ice. I can't go back and see how many goals Ovechkin or Gretzky has had on a two-line pass, Ovechkin. But it was a different kind of game.
Remember when
you had to play a half a rink, basically.
Remember when Dahlin threw that Hail Mary pass to Cousins on Ryan Miller night in overtime? Like all the way across the ice? That wouldn't have counted.
That's right.
That would have been a penalty. There's been a whistle, right? It would have been a whistle. The other thing I was looking at between these two the other day... When Gretzky broke Gordie Howe's record, he was, I think I saw, 33 years old.
Oh, wow.
Like, Gretzky, one thing that allows Ovechkin the opportunity to even break this record is Gretzky slowed down.
Yep.
He slowed down at the end. He scores 38 goals in 93-98. And then after that, it's 11-23-15-25-23-9. Whereas Ovechkin is still out here on 50-goal paces at 39 years old. So he has, and that could be the era too, right? That is sports science allowing people to play longer. And
the game
probably isn't as physical as it was then, obviously.
Gretzky still led the league in assists at age 36 and 37.
All right, he was still doing that, I guess.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that is, see, at the it's mostly true. Gretzky played in an era that it was easier to score. The goalies didn't know what they were doing. The average goals per game was way higher, but not in those last couple of years. When he slowed down, that is the dead puck era. So, for instance, he leads the league in assists. He had 97 points, 96-97. That's when, am I right on timeline? That's about when the trap is being introduced and goaltending is getting figured out. Hasek has arrived, right? And he's inspiring a bunch of goalies to play the position differently. So maybe the last couple of years when Gretzky isn't scoring goals, it was harder to score. Probably even than it is right now.
I'm looking at his... I always say it. If you go to his reference page and see all the emboldened assists and points, it's unbelievable.
His whole page is bold, which means at Hockey Reference that you led the league in that category.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. Him breaking the record is going to be, I think, for me, the coolest record I've ever seen broken in sports. LeBron beating the all-time points record and Brady and Breeze going back and forth on the all-time passing records. And this one, to me, hits different because it's one that not everybody thought, or maybe most thought, would never be broken. Everyone assumed the passing record would go down one day. The way the league was tracking, the passing record was going to go down. The NBA scoring record, the way scoring is up, three-pointers are up in the NBA, maybe LeBron wouldn't have done it. I think most thought that record's going down. This record was supposedly unbreakable because of the era differences and whatnot. So to me, it's the coolest one that's going to get broken.
I mean, yeah. I know we got to go to break here. If you look at the NHL all-time leaders in points in a season, okay, it goes Gretzky, 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 Lemieux, Gretzky, Gretzky, Lemieux, Gretzky, 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 Lemieux, Lemieux.
It's incredible.
It's amazing.
3 out of 4 years, he had 200 points.
Yeah.
92 in a season. That one's...
Goals.
That one is never getting touched. 212 is never getting touched. His assist record and point record is never getting touched. Yeah. This was the only Gretzky record that could have gone down. Right?
There's
no other one.
No one's ever touching the assist record, right? I mean, come on.
Oh, no. None of his other records are anyone's coming near. But this was the one.
Yep.
If he doesn't do it this year, he will do it at the beginning of next year.
He'll be doing it at the beginning of next year. We don't have the schedule out yet.
No, they can, I've said this, they can manufacture the right matchup that they want. I don't know if the NHL, you should trust them to do that.
Well, they already have the right matchup for him doing it this year, maybe unintentionally.
Game.
They're playing Sid in that rivalry with the Penguins the last game of the year.
In Pittsburgh, though.
Yes.
Which would be kind of funny if he did it in Pittsburgh, the home of his rival of his career. Extendo Sports, when we come back, we'll wrap things up, get it off to the extra Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. That's coming up at 10.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, join us in the fight against cancer. Ride with Bulldog and me and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email, pick up your t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. If you're not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team. Support our goal. Visit WGR550.com for details. So there is a report from Kevin Kurz, who covers the Flyers for The Athletic, that John Tortorella, who was dismissed yesterday, told from a team source that it's, quote, fair to say something happened between Cam York and John Tortorella in Toronto. Cam York, one of the Flyers players, that contributed to the coach's dismissal on Thursday morning. It was put to me that, quote, they probably both crossed the line, end quote. Did they fight? Did they fist fight?
I mean, York was dressed the other night, but didn't play a single second of the game.
Yeah. Like, I'm wondering, I mean, Tortorella could have said something that is discriminatory or, you never know. I'm not going to levy that allegation against him without any knowledge of it.
But what would York have done back?
What crosses the line that isn't physical? There are verbal things that could cross the line, but it could have been physical too. I don't know, but we'll see if we get any more details on it. Tortorella is, I mean, this is a guy that once tried to charge into the Calgary Flames dressing room. It was like 5 years ago, not that long ago, when he was the Canucks coach. There was a brawl, and then during intermission, he tried to barge into the Canucks dressing room to, like, fight the coach. I don't know. Anyways. No, I don't want John Tortorella on the Sabres, although I did tweet out, like, a video of, like, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. See how crazy things can get. Just hire him at this point. Hey, everyone is affected by cancer one way or another. Money to Ride for Roswell. You can help us support there. Also, the Ellicottville Chamber of Commerce is partnering with Labatt, creating an event where a majority of the proceeds will benefit the 11-day power play. So join us at the Par for a Purpose on May 19th. Play some golf in a foursome at Diamond Black. Golf on the mind, sorry. Double Black Diamond Golf Course, Holiday Valley. Registration includes lunch, dinner, two drink tickets, greens fee, cart, prizes. Everyone loves a golf tournament. They're lots of fun. Visit WGR550.com/events to register now. That's it for me. I'm off next week. I'm going to D.C. for a couple of days and then to Charlotte. Check out the cherry blossoms, get some soccer, get some golf in, some warmer weather. So Jeremy will be back next week. He'll be in with Nate throughout the week, and by the time I'm back talking to you, we'll be into draft month in April. So enjoy the weekend, and I'll talk to you in about 10 days here on WGR. Stay tuned. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way next here on WGR.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.